No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good afternoon, Winnipeg. Good afternoon, Manitoba, for all those, and good afternoon, universe, for all those joining us live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With the pressure building on this Winnipeg Jets team, this afternoon they're able to flip the relief valve and let that pressure dissipate for at least one afternoon following a very tidy and a very impressive 4-1 victory over the St. Louis Blues, ending the Jets losing streak at 6 games.
There's joy back in Joyland, boys.
Yeah, there's some joy back in Joyland. I think everybody, certainly Jets fans are feeling better about the result after this afternoon's contest. Only one game, of course, but you can only do it one game at a time. And for a team that was in desperate need of a good effort and in desperate need of a clean 2 points and a victory in the win column, they got that this afternoon against the St. Louis Blues. Very impressive. Nice to see you both, gentlemen. Again, it's been a whopping, little less than 6 hours since we last got together.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm loving these afternoon games. Dave M., not so much, especially when the Moose game starts at the exact same time. It's been a couple of weekends in a row, right, that's been the case. But first off, let's just start off looking at this kind of big picture, guys, right? Like, you know, we talked about it. We knew that the Jets weren't getting any help, right? Like Nick Ehlers wasn't coming back. Josh Morrissey wasn't coming back. And not only that, Nathan Beaulieu, who obviously isn't somebody that you expect to regularly be in the top six, he's out. So Declan Chisholm comes in. And I just thought Chisholm and Kovacevic were just so good together, guys. Like, think about, you know, all the pressure that's on this team right now. Drew mentioned it, right? You end the six-game losing streak with a win. And so there's so much pressure on you. You're facing a Blues team that's a top team in the Central, top team in the West, and at home. So I was just really impressed with this overall effort. And we're going to talk, I imagine, quite a bit about Eric Comrie, but you know, he makes a key save there with about 4 minutes left on Robert Thomas, who we talked about on the Saturday morning show with Luke Korak of NHL.com. Thought Thomas and Kyrou, for the most part, were pretty quiet. And obviously, you know, Kyrou bumps into Justin Falk there on the first goal that the Jets scored, Paul Stastny, if you remember. So obviously, you know, Kyrou didn't have his best game this afternoon. But just overall, guys, like, this was a great team effort. Like, you saw Blake Wheeler this afternoon coming back on the back check. You saw Kyle Connor out there on the penalty kill. I thought he was really effective. That was, to me, a big part of this game was special teams. And obviously, you know, there weren't a lot of goals scored on special teams, but for the Jets, I mean, that was, I think, in the second period when Blake Wheeler, if you remember, took that tripping penalty on Colton Parayko. And this is a Blues team that we talked about, third best power play in the league. So I thought the special teams were sharp, but just overall, guys, the Jets just played a really well-structured game. They were just really good defensively. 2 shots they allowed the Blues in the second period. On the road, that's really impressive when you have, you know, 3 of your regular top 6 defensemen out of the lineup. So I'm going to stop talking here. Really impressive win, and I'm going to let Dave M. get in here.
I thought you were going to leave the show, and I was going to say that'd be terrific. I guess I was a little too wishful thinking that would happen there, Dave M. But, you know, Ezzy does make some very good points there, particularly the effort in the second period, which is really where the game turned. I mean, the Jets, capitalized in the second period. They get 2 goals in the middle period to extend the lead from a tie game to a 3-1 game. They give up 2 shots in the entirety of the second period. You know, I think people are watching that and saying, well, where's that team been this entire season?
They're literally saying that in the chat, Drew. So that's not even a question. You can just find, just look in the chat. You'll see that comment. A couple things struck me early on, especially actually when the Jets went down 1-0 in the game on the power play on the Tarasenko goal, which was a really nice goal beating Eric Comrie. I mean, perfectly placed by Tarasenko. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I actually liked you know, even though they were down, you were looking at the way I was watching the way the young guys were playing. I was watching the way Chisholm was playing. I was watching the way Kovacevic was playing. Both guys playing in their second NHL games. Ville Heinola has played, obviously, more NHL games, but I think it's just the second of the year. So you wanted to see how they were playing. I thought those guys were playing to their strengths. They weren't playing not scared is the wrong word, but they weren't tentative. And I thought that was really important. And, you know, of course, one game, it was actually one period I was basing that on, wasn't necessarily going to say you make an assessment on them right across the board. But that I thought was really important. The nerves were gone. You saw these guys playing to their strengths. You know, Kovacevic, big, strong, physical, mobile. Chisholm is not afraid to play with the puck. Amazing skater. Probably the best skater of the Jets prospect pool, defensive prospect pool at least. And Heinola, well, we know what Ville Heinola can do, especially when he starts to get that confidence up a little bit. So even though the Jets were down 1-0, I thought that was a good a good sign for them. And then, of course, you know, it was like watching the Keystone Cops, a little smasheroo in that first period.
That was the biggest hit late in the Jets game in like a month, Kyrou on Falk. The Jets haven't hit anybody that hard in forever.
Yeah, so I thought that, you know, that was – it was almost like that was like the bounce or the situation that needed to occur, that the Jets needed to kind of like, to use your word, release the valve. And Paul Stastny deposits that puck into the empty net. And we know what, you know, scoring in St. Louis means for him. So I thought that just changed the whole tenor of the game. And I thought you're watching for St. Louis to push back. And they did a little bit, obviously, in that first. But then to me, you're right, the second period to outshoot them 8-2, to really hold them, because that's what you expected. And even probably more impressively, because of course the Jets scored twice in that third, was the way the Jets came out in the third period. I thought as good as they played in the second, I was expecting them to get punched in the mouth. Like the moment that, not literally, but the moment that puck dropped in the third period.
Thanks for clarifying that, by the way. I thought you meant literally.
Well, Drew was talking about being a pacifist earlier, so I want to make sure that people aren't thinking I'm advocating violence. But you know what?
We never advocate violence unless it's against one another.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that to me was the biggest kind of, that was the most significant part of the game and it was funny because then they got a power play because they were playing good offense. And then that's when St. Louis kind of turn things around a little bit. I know we'll get more into the game, but to me, that was kind of like, aside from Eric Comrie's play, which we'll of course talk about, that was kind of the moment in the game, I thought, which was very impressive by the Winnipeg Jets.
So absolutely. And we say good afternoon to everybody joining us. This is the Illegal Curve post game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you talking about the Jets 4-1 victory over the St. Louis Blues this afternoon. A big win for the team as they embark on a 2-game road trip to wrap up the pre All-Star breaks portion of the schedule. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button. We appreciate when you do that. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast. Go one step further. Tell your fellow Jets fans or Jets observers who might not already be watching, tell them about us. Tell them that the best way to spend a post game and the best way to spend a Saturday morning is with us here on the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, talking about the Jets contest for better or worse. Everything that we do, we always appreciate your support. And the word of mouth is a powerful word, no doubt about that, Mr.
So, Drew, is a Jets observer like just a step below a Jets fan? Like, what's the difference between a Jets observer and a Jets fan? I just wanted to clarify.
I would say that some Jets fans are...
I'm messing with
you. I know you are. And I'm going to... But I like to pretend that you're being serious.
I give you credit. Next weekend is our 13-year anniversary. I'm calling it the Illegal Curve Bar Mitzvah. And I got to give you credit. And you've pretended to take me seriously for this long. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. How was the new Peloton? Speaking of taking you seriously, I saw that you put on your Instagram that you bought a new Peloton. Well, how's that going?
The best thing is, Naomi, our friend has a Peloton bike. So she goes to her house and uses her Peloton bike. So I just think it's funny because Peloton is just so popular. Everybody's got a Peloton bike.
I have a Peloton bike.
Do you have one?
Yeah.
Mazel tov. That's good.
Yeah, you're not invited over to use it, just for the record.
So I don't want to use it. I have, no interest in using it. I'm not a Peloton guy.
Drew, that was a mistake though, because now Ezzy's going to be messaging you to like.
I'm more of a beer and chips type of guy. But anyway, so my joke was, for anybody who most people probably don't
Dave,
follow
I'm,
me on Instagram.
I'm in training for the boxing match against Ezzy. I got to make sure that I'm in peak physical condition.
You're not going to have to do much to beat me as far as physical condition goes. But anyways, my Instagram post was, I just Google imaged a Peloton bike. And my caption was, I'm so happy that I got my new Peloton bike. And then right after, I just posted a picture of an Illegal Curve sandwich and said, I can't afford a Peloton bike. I'm going to eat an Illegal Curve sandwich instead. The amount of messages I've gotten from people that actually think I got a Peloton bike, like Sarah Orleski messaged me on Instagram and said, you're going to love it. And then she looked at the next one and said, oh, you're probably going to love that more. So pretty funny. But honestly, like, I'm getting text from like Aaron Bernstein, who owns Bernstein's, obviously is one of the sponsors of the show. He's like asking me, like, we need to know, did you actually get a Peloton bike? Like, I thought it was pretty clear that it was a joke. But yeah, I'm
I have a, really a I had somebody text me to say, did Ezzy actually get a Peloton also? So I mean, you know,
look at Ezzy.
It's the number of people that take you seriously. I was thinking about this the other day. I was looking at Twitter and I clicked on somebody's profile. It's to this day, it amazes me the number of people you see on Twitter who unironically declare that they're a 3-time Ezzy Award winner. Like it's a thing that actually was a serious award, as opposed to the.
Otherwise, we had a night for it, as he wore a tuxedo
of sorts. Well, it was serious tuxedo t-shirt.
I said it was
serious fun, is what it is. And obviously, you know, with kids now, and
like the fact that a deranged human being giving you an award on the street corner.
Hey, Drew, you always got host of the year, so I don't know why you're complaining. You're a 7- or 8-time winner. But I'm like an Andy Kaufman. I like my like kind of I love just messing with people. So, yeah. I mean, I obviously am not as funny as Andy Kaufman, but I try. But I mean, that's kind of what I like to do. I just like to have fun. I mean, you got to have fun in life, especially under these circumstances where, you know, where we live and what's going on with the virus and everything like that. So, no, I did not get a Peloton bike. That doesn't mean that I shouldn't exercise more. Like I definitely need to put it this way. I work at Hockey Manitoba in the Sport Manitoba building. We get a free gym membership for working at Hockey Manitoba.
Have you used it once?
I don't know how many times I've used it. Well, I definitely have not used it since COVID. I think I used it in late 2019. Free gym membership, and I don't use it.
All right, time to move on. Talk about the game.
Speaking about athletes in peak physical condition, the Winnipeg Jets, obviously.
There you go. The Jets were peak tonight, Drew.
Yeah, they were definitely peak, and it starts with their peak goaltending with Eric Comrie. We're unabashed fans of Eric Comrie as a person, and you heard Greg Millen talking about it on the broadcast as well this afternoon. He played a great game. For a guy who hasn't played in a game in over a month, to get thrown into that situation.
True. 6 weeks.
Yeah.
December 10th.
Well, I mean, that's well
closer
over
a month. It's probably closer to 7 weeks now, actually.
Yeah. But to see him come in, first of all, I mean, Ezzy, you texted us saying that, you know, Comrie's all of a sudden getting the start. You know, that in and of itself was a pretty big surprise.
Huge.
Because nobody expected it to be Comrie. I certainly didn't. We didn't even discuss it as a possibility.
And we have a goaltending controversy, boys.
Well, it's one win at a time until we get that goaltending controversy. But it was certainly a surprise when he came out or it was announced that he was going to be the starter for this afternoon's game. We didn't talk about it during the Saturday morning show as a possibility. But he came out and he justified the faith that Dave Lowry showed in him. And I think his teammates even had a more focused defensive effort as a result. And you sometimes see that happen where you're playing the backup goalie and maybe, you know, you don't necessarily have the exact same level of confidence as you do your starter. So it results in everybody having to focus and everybody having to have that little bit extra attention to detail, especially for a Jets team that has been struggling to get that attention to detail, Dave.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And we've heard that before, right? You often hear that the Jets will, or not Jets, but any team will sometimes tighten up a little bit when they've got their backup in net, especially knowing the circumstances, right? Especially knowing, and I've seen a lot of people I'm not going to say one start is suddenly going to make Eric Comrie the best backup goaltender, but I can't tell you how many times when we tweeted this about, you know, like as he said, when Paul Edmonds announced that it was going to be Eric Comrie starting, oh, this is a loss. Start the tank. Like, and I'm like, like, I get it. Like, I understand.
I'm not sure what that is, Dave, because sorry to cut you off, but the way he's played with the Moose and the way he's played this season, what is this, his fourth win? Third or fourth win of the season?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at his save percentage. Save percentage is above .920. So I'm not sure why people aren't confident. Like, have a little faith in Comrie. He's a good goalie.
Look, his last game in Vancouver, he had that hiccup goal that kind of fluttered. And, you know, look, he had a really good start. He made that save off Neil Pionk, of all people. The puck deflected it off Pionk in the first period. He had to be really reactionary, made that save. And you kind of see he seemed dialed in right from that point. So I just think it's a feather in his cap just for him to be able to stay ready, for him to be able to show that, you know, the confidence in him is there. And yeah, I agree, Drew. Like, you do sometimes see that where teams will tighten up, and the Jets did seem more bought in whether that was because Eric Comrie was in net or because they know where they are in the standings and how, like, this was, not to overstate things, and I wasn't about to say that if the Jets lost, that their season was over, but this was as close to a must-win game, game 41,
as you're
ever going to see. Yep. So to get that kind of effort from Eric Comrie, to have that confidence, to be honest, just to give Connor Hellebuyck the game off. Like, I mean, it's not like it was a bit like a 2-day thing where he had 2 days between games. It was a night game on Thursday, an afternoon today. So at least now, Connor Hellebuyck, I mean, people are goalie controversy. The Jets are going to use Connor Hellebuyck on Tuesday against Philadelphia. So, but he'll have had 4 days to kind of, the Jets are off tomorrow. He'll have another day to rest. They'll practice on Monday, I'm assuming in Philly. And then he'll play Tuesday night. And then he has another week off. So, and then what you're going to start to see is a regular rhythm between these two goaltenders. And I don't have a problem with that because what we've seen from Connor Hellebuyck is a guy who looks tired and he doesn't look as crisp as he usually does. But Eric Comrie is rewarding the confidence the organization has had in him by being able to give them a quality start. And probably, I would say, and again, I don't want to be too hyperbolic, but this is probably the biggest game that Eric Comrie has ever played, wearing a Winnipeg Jets uniform.
Yeah, certainly against probably the biggest opposition. I mean, some of his other games at this stage of the season, he had those games earlier in the year where we were sort of surprised that he got a number of starts in a row, a combination of Hellebuyck's wife having their child, and and there was a bit of, if I recall correctly, there might have been a bit of an illness in there or something that wasn't COVID.
It was a malaise, actually.
It wasn't COVID, but he wasn't feeling well.
So that's right. Mayonnaise.
Yeah. So, I mean, you saw Comrie, I think, more earlier than you expected. And this would be, I agree, Dave, that this was his sort of biggest test on the road against the St. Louis Blues team that has been firing on all cylinders. And it's not, the second period notwithstanding, which was an easy period for him, only giving up, the Jets only giving up the two shots. But after Tarasenko scores early in the game and you're thinking, okay, here we go again, they settled in, which was very nice. But that third period, how many power play opportunities did the Blues have in that third period? I mean, they had a number of penalties, sort of after the Jets started that third by getting that early power play.
A lot of four-on-four, Drew. Like, I don't think we've seen that much four-on-four. It was like 4-on-4 three or four times.
And then there were a number of even giveaways before the Jets iced it, before Stastny made it 4-1 into the empty net. And we'll talk about that, maybe the lack of a call that should have occurred right before that. But, I mean, Mark Scheifele...
Well, that was definitely a trip.
Oh, it was clearly a trip. There's no question. I mean, Mark Scheifele had a terrible giveaway just before that 4-1
That
goal.
Was the chance for Robert Thomas.
Exactly. Pardon me,
was it Thomas? Yeah, it was Thomas.
It was Thomas, where Scheifele just, teed it up for Robert Thomas. And we'll talk about Scheifele's game because there was nothing there to write home about as far as I'm concerned. And Eric Comrie came up big. Yep. And he bailed out, the guy who's, theoretically supposed to be bailing out the backup goalie sometimes.
At the end of the day, Drew, Comrie stopped 28 of 29 shots, as Dave mentioned, in his first game in almost 2 months. That's really impressive, guys. And we didn't expect Comrie to play. We thought he might play against the Vancouver in the Vancouver game. But we definitely, there's no indication that Comrie was going to play this afternoon. So he deserves a lot of credit here. The Jets played really well as a team, but Comrie specifically, just great. Like, we've had him on the show a bunch of times. And not that everybody isn't behind him, but because he is a very well-liked guy in that dressing room and by fans. So you just love to see it. So I think he deserves full marks for the way he played in a tough situation, as Dave mentioned. It probably is, Dave. I don't think you're being too hyperbolic. I do think this is probably, one of his biggest games, just in terms of what's at stake, guys. You had to stop the bleeding. I mean, you could argue you had to stop the bleeding at home against Florida and against Vancouver coming off that road trip where he didn't win a game. But this is a big one. We're not going to go, as far as to say this is season defining or whatever, but this is a big one. To pick up a clean 2 points against a division rival that you're not going to catch. I mean, it's going to be very tough for the Jets to catch the Blues. They're certainly not catching the Avalanche. It's a big one. There's no doubt. There's no other way you can put it. The Jets needed this one, and they worked hard for it. They outworked and outskated the Blues this afternoon.
Well, and I think, Drew, sorry, quick, I just want to say, I think one of the biggest things folks have been wanting to see from the Winnipeg Jets is a full 60-minute effort. I mean, we talked about it on this morning show. The biggest thing from that, the biggest takeaway from the game, 6 days ago in Pittsburgh, was the fact that they played a really good game. They had a little bit of a letdown, and Pittsburgh made them pay, and they obviously lost the game in extra. But here, You didn't see that. You didn't. There were opportunities. And when the Jets didn't play at their optimum, which no team is going to play perfect hockey for 60 minutes, but when the Jets weren't, you had your goaltender making the saves. So that to me was the biggest thing. And look, you know, what did I say this morning? You can't win today and lose Tuesday in Philly. So you have to just continue this momentum. You're like I said, you're having a day off tomorrow. You get a chance to kind of, you know, rest and recover, have a good practice on Monday, bring this exact effort. If you can bring this exact effort on Tuesday, well, you can go into that All-Star break knowing, feeling good about yourselves, getting your chance to kind of reset with the family. And then you come out and you have, who do you play the next game? Minnesota Wild at home, huge game for the Winnipeg Jets. So there is a really good opportunity and they can't squander it by not continuing this effort tomorrow. I mean, sorry, Tuesday in Philly.
You know, it's interesting. We talk about Scheifele and I'm actually looking at, on my second screen here, Joe Piscucci just tweeted the highlight of Scheifele's just terrible giveaway at a time where you can't do. There is 3.5 minutes to go in the game. You're up 2 goals. All you can't do in that situation is give away the puck. That's your one rule. Yeah,
you got to clear the zone there for sure.
Never saw the ice again. Never saw the ice again for the final 3.5 minutes after that, which to me, you know, given his regular usage, to me, that's Dave Lowry benching Mark Scheifele for the final 3.5 minutes of the game, given, given that turnover. Yeah.
He probably should sit on the bench there.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of Dave Lowry, you know, just checking, you know, our good folks at Natural Stat Trick, Adam Lowry actually had the best 5-on-5 Corsi. Speaking of guys that are from St. Louis, right? We can't forget his St. Louis connection along with Paul Stastny, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure he moved around quite a bit with his dad, right, when he was in the NHL. But, you know, a really impressive game from Lowry, too. 3.5 minutes on the PK. Also checked his stat line, and somehow he didn't have a hit. You rarely see Lowry with no hits. But
But that's what we've been talking about, you know, prior to today's game. If you're Adam Lowry, you're not going to be a goal scorer. It's clear you're not going to be a prolific goal scorer.
Or he's only going to score once every 5 or 7 games or something.
Jets, I think, are fine with that as long as he's impacting the game in other ways. And that, to me, is being a physical force out there.
He won 58% of his faceoffs. He's the best faceoff guy on the Jets, right? Yeah. And so you're going up against Ryan O'Reilly. He's also one of the best faceoff guys in the league. Right. So I thought Lowry just quietly had a really good game. Didn't fight. You know, didn't have any registered hits, which again, something you always expect him to at least have a couple, right, Dave? But I just wanted to get that in there as well. Lowry, Stastny, and Pagansky, that third line, they were really noticeable and really solid for the Jets today.
Yeah, certainly an impressive performance by them. Stastny, you know, obviously getting 2 of the easier goals he's ever going to get in his career.
That empty netter was like a Hail Mary from Neil Pionk.
Yeah, well, you know what? That we got to talk about that. So, I mean, that clearly should have been a penalty on the Jets.
Oh, absolutely. Well, originally it looked like it was Dylan, which it was Dylan, but also Dubois got his stick in there. It was almost a double trip.
It's funny, actually. I actually don't agree. I think that if you actually watch the replay, Dylan's skate clipped Ryan O'Reilly's skate, and that is what caused him to go down. Now, don't get me wrong, Dubois threw his stick out there, but that didn't actually cause the trip. It was actually Dylan's skate. So
if anybody was getting a penalty, it was Dylan.
Yeah, but I actually don't think it was a penalty. I just think it was just their skates collided. So in my mind, and I just saw it one time. I didn't watch it a bunch of times, but I actually didn't think it was a penalty. I thought it was the right call.
Okay, well, Dave taking on the role of the contrarian, which, but at least not an obnoxious contrarian where it's clear what the situation is, you're closing your eyes to it. That I don't like, but appreciate.
I watched it because I heard the Blues fans, booing, and I don't really care if it's a penalty. I'll say it was a penalty. But then when I watched the replay, I saw the way Dylan's skate came in, O'Reilly's skate hit it, that caused him to fall, and then Dubois swung his stick because he's trying to knock the puck. And it looks bad because his stick goes flying and then O'Reilly flies over it. But I just didn't see Dubois make the contact. And Dylan was really the one who initiated it. And again, like I said, it looked inadvertent to me. So I would suggest that probably wasn't a penalty.
Drew, I think we should send that clip of what Dave just said to the Department of Player Safety. Just send it right to George Perros, because I think Dave M did an excellent job there. You're right, though, Dave. It wasn't clear cut. I mean, it was one of those ones that was a little bit of, look, if this happens really fast, and how many calls did refs miss on a regular basis, right? So we could go back every single game and say, well, that should have been called or this should have been called. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it, all things considered, it didn't have a huge impact on the game. The Blues weren't going to tie that game up. Come on.
Well, I thought Greg Millen had a good point. You know, when the crowd was booing and raining down the boos and the ref you suck chant and everything else, and Greg Millen very sort of dryly on the broadcast said, yeah, well, you guys put your performance put yourself into the position to being down two goals before the empty netter. So, you know, there wasn't a ton of sympathy. And I sort of thought that was blunt and appreciated sometimes from the analysis.
From the Sky Dome, watching Sean Green hit homers and Carlos Delgado.
Okay, fair enough.
They were. I don't think they were. I think they were in Toronto calling the game. I don't think they were in St. Louis.
You don't think they were in St. Louis?
I'm pretty sure he said something during the broadcast. I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe I misheard him. I was trying to watch the Moose game and the Jets game at the exact same time. But I could have sworn he made a comment like, that's what it looked like to us, at least here at Sky Dome. And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But I thought it was a little unusual, but maybe I'm wrong. But I could have sworn he said something about, Matthew Thompson's agreeing with me. I think that they were, in fact, at the Sky Dome. So, I mean, they're in the middle of watching. Joe Carter goes with a homer.
I like how we called it Sky Dome, by the way, because nobody calls it Sky Dome anymore.
I was going to say, it's all very odd. I wonder if Sky Dome means something different than it did back when it was called Sky Dome.
Is Sky Dome like Greg Millen's like basement studio? Like, is that what Sky Dome is?
Who knows? It's a very good question. And in an unusual afternoon, unusual because the Jets won, unusual because some of the broadcast and I guess where they are originating from, calling it Sky Dome is sort of just par for the course.
The chat has Dave M's back.
The chat.
I don't know if they've got our back, but they've definitely got Dave M's back.
Well, there you go. Matthew Thompson said he actually said the building formerly called Sky Dome, which is even weirder.
Yeah, that's very weird.
It's called the Rogers Center, and the game was on the television network owned by Rogers. So it's all very odd.
Yeah, it is very. I agree. I'm with you on that one.
It's like somebody's getting a talking to from management after the game
ended. If you called it Sky Dome to anybody who's familiar with, you know, the Jays or Toronto, they know exactly what you're talking about. But it's weird to call it the building formerly known as Sky Dome. Yeah. Like, just say what it's called. Just say Rogers. Rogers.
Nobody would bat an eye. I mean, it's all very interesting in any event. Let's take our break. When we come back, some of the post-game comments that I've seen come across Twitter. I think a few of them have already caught my eye, so we'll share those with the audience. Dave M is, of course, going to do the Manuka Moose Minute because the Moose were in action this afternoon as well. More of our hard.
Yeah, they played the Blues.
No. They didn't play the Blues, Ezzy. They played the Heat or the Canucks.
I'm saying there were a lot of
Moose players. Come on, Drew. It's so obvious. I mean,
you're slipping, Drew.
Are you exhausted? Like, what's going on? I knew where Ezzy was going with that one.
Fair enough. Sorry. Andy Kaufman in the bottom of the screen. Dave Manuka in the top right. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Stay with us. Much more of the post-game show coming up next. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Hey boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the Manuk minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute?
Yeah, less than a minute? I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking. Or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called GridPark. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days. And you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, and it's just 2 blocks from the arena.
The Grid Park app?
Yep, spelled GRYD Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow, so they just download the Grid Park app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK, only on the Grid Park app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
It's watching the game with friends, pizza night with the family, or date night for two. This holiday season, give the gift of special occasions. Get a free $10 promo card when you buy a $50 gift card from Boston Pizza. Because nobody re-gifts pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
You almost all got to see a sighting of my daughter, but then she thought better of it and ran away.
I want to see Aaron.
Yeah, no, she said, Ginsburg. She said, I don't really want to see Ginsburg, so I'm getting the hell out of here. I thought it was a little bit strong language from a six-year-old, but you know, we've taught her well and to be afraid
That's
of
not true.
People.
Aaron loves Uncle Ezzy.
It's true. Aaron does love Uncle Ezzy. She's always curious as to what's
not
going
sure
on.
I'm sure it's been why it's been 4 years since I've been invited to your home, but that's another story.
I think most people can probably figure that out for themselves.
Oh, the restraining order. That's why.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it's the legal proceedings that I have in effect going on. Yes, those are the reasons. Interesting comment courtesy of Murat Atesh on Twitter, quoting Pierre-Luc Dubois. Pierre-Luc Dubois tells reporters in St. Louis that today's satisfaction isn't just about the win. It's about Winnipeg winning the right way. Now they'll try to do it all over again in Philadelphia. Pierre-Luc Dubois says he thinks today could be really big for the team. So you certainly knew that they'd feel good about themselves, and they deserve to feel good about themselves, but Pierre-Luc Dubois is certainly, you know, backing that up with some strong comments as well. Continuing on, courtesy of Nate Schmidt, who's always good for a quote. This also from Murat's Twitter feed. Quote, "The playoffs aren't some distant fairy tale," says Nate Schmidt. Says they happen if they work, starting now. So this Jets team feels better about themselves after today's game. And now they know how they have to play to be successful. And that's been the bugaboo for this team, is getting to their game to look the right way, and then bottling that and doing it game in and game out and game in and game out. You can't play down to the level of your opponent, which is what I think they've largely been doing this year. So when you go in on Tuesday to play the Philadelphia Flyers, a Flyers team that actually won today in overtime against the LA Kings, they know what their game needs to look like to make it not just a one-off, but to get some better than okay vibes into the All-Star break.
Absolutely. They have to play with this type of defensive structure, whether or not it's Eric Comrie, you know, in net on Tuesday. And that's something that, you know, we saw earlier in the season. And this is a team that was opportunistic, right? Like whether that's Stastny's goal, you know, coming off of that, you know, collision between Kyrou and Justin Falk, and then Ville Husso You know, I'm not sure what he was doing there, but it, you know, Stastny just was opportunistic and took advantage of it. And, you know, they scored a power play goal, you know, Nate Schmidt. We have to talk more about Nate Schmidt, I feel like, Dave. Like, Dave M, I always like to go back to that that interview that Dave M did with Nate Schmidt. Like, his personality is just awesome. We love that. I think, you know, it's the closest that we've come to having, like, a Bufflin type of personality. So he was amazing. Like, he was over 25 minutes. I think he was around 26 minutes of ice time. Hold on, let me check here, boys. He was
at 24:38.
Sorry, so he wasn't above 25 minutes. He was at 24:38, but still, he played the most. Pardon me, Pionk was actually ahead of him at 26 minutes. Pionk was really good tonight, but 4 minutes and 17 seconds on the PK, over 6 minutes for Brendan Dillon. So the Jets veteran defensemen, Schmidt, Dillon, Pionk, these guys were really good today, really good in their own zone. Schmidt obviously contributed a goal, but he was jumping up. I also thought Dave Villehanola had maybe one of his best games as a Jet. He just looked more confident jumping up into the play. He had at least one shot on net that I can remember. He might have had another.
He rang the one off the post that really rang very off easily the post, could, right? could have been a 4-1 goal in the
and those that period. Doesn't count as a shot on goal, by the way.
It doesn't count as a shot on goal. But
so he was really good. He was really good. Defense in general was good. Like, we talked about it on this morning show. Sorry, just going on a bit of a rant here, you know, on defensemen. But, like, Kovacevic and Chisholm as the third pair there, I mean, it's not your typical, you know, like, second career games, but these guys are 22, 24 years old, right? So, like, these guys have been playing in the Moose, getting big assignments from Mark Morrison and previously Pascal Vincent. So I think, you know, full marks for that decor. Forwards were good too, but the decor, especially, you know, with all of the bodies out of the lineup right now, Morrissey, DeMello, Stanley, Beaulieu, these guys stepped up in a big way in St. Louis.
Well, you mentioned Schmidt, Ezzy, and he obviously got the goal, the power play goal, or, you know, a blast from the point. And what you like about that power play is the puck was moving on it, so it wasn't stationary. The puck was in, you know, full flight the whole time, which allowed the shot to be able to get through because the, you know, the block couldn't get over in time. But before that, on the Kyle Connor goal, it starts with an exit pass from Nate Schmidt. You know, a great exit pass. He doesn't end up getting an assist on it, but neither does Cole Perfetti, because remember, Perfetti had a great chance before Connor was able to score it. But it all starts because of Nate Schmidt getting the puck up the ice quickly. And you're right. I thought he was very good for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. And, you know, I think their effort tonight and their success tonight started with the play of the defense and really the whole focus of the team, the majority of the team, on the defensive side of the game first, and then leading to the offense, Dave.
Yeah, although, I mean, like Ezzy, I'm going to also segue quickly because we got to talk about Kyle Connor. I mean, Kyle Connor has 24 goals in 41 games. He also hit 20 assists.
Is that good, Dave? I don't know if that's good or not.
That's good. I mean,
I think that's pretty good.
He may be the first Jets player to hit 50. So, I mean, he's close.
No, Teemu Selanne did it. Keith Kachuk did it.
I got in trouble because someone got mad that I was using Jets 1.0 and 2.0 and mixing and thrashers. Anyways, so I'm just saying that Kyle Connor's, as good as his goal scoring is, and that goal was beautiful. I mean, he put it perfectly into that Blues net. His passing, his assists, you know, this is his fifth straight season with 20 or more assists. And I think one of the things that we often forget about Kyle Connor is just as lethal as his shot is, he's just as excellent making a good pass. So, something he doesn't necessarily always get recognized for. And it looks like being on the PK is helping his game out a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. 100%.
It's a good point.
I think that being on the penalty kill for Kyle Connor is kind of enhanced what he's bringing to this Jets club. Maybe it's made him a little more defensively minded, more responsible.
Preach, Dave. So maybe Shifley should get on the PK.
Well, I wouldn't go that far just yet. Maybe. Well, if it's happening, I mean, Kyle Connor's defensive game was never – ever really lauded. So, I mean, maybe if it's going to work for him, maybe it'll work for Mark Shifley.
Dave, like, there's no doubt that his defensive game has improved. And, you know, he was getting those PK looks under Paul Maurice. Like, in previous years, he played a little bit, but you're absolutely right. I mean, we know Adam Lowry and Andrew Kopp, like, those are your OGs. Like, those are your guys that you're always going to put out there on the penalty kill. And we talked about, you know, how good Brendan Dillon was tonight, 6 minutes of PK time. Nate Schmidt was out there for 3.5. So, I think that's a really good point that you make. Kyle Connor was excellent tonight, today, not only getting the goal, but making those contributions on the PK.
Ezzy, get the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment winner ready. It's time for everybody's favorite moment of the post game show. Settle in, kick up your feet. You've been waiting for the last 40 minutes for it. Ding, ding, ding. It's the Manuk Moose Minute.
That's quite the intro, Drew. I got to tell you, like, your intro is going to last longer than the Manuk.
We tried to get you some music, Dave, but there's nothing in the budget for that. Yeah, so that's the best we're going to do at a legal curve.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, boys. And look, the Moose were going to be in tough today. I mean, they have the Abbotsford Canucks, the first time ever they're facing the Canucks Farm Club, because of course they've been in Utica, which was a team that the Moose didn't play ever. Nick Patan, 2013 second rounder, his first time ever playing in Winnipeg as a member of the opposition. So that was interesting because
did he score it?
He did not. He set up the game-winning goal, though, for Abbotsford, coincidentally. He got the primary assist on it. But it was, you know what, we've talked about it. The Moose have been completely decimated. And it's funny because in the chat, a lot of people are saying, who else can you get from the Moose? There's nobody else. There's the Moose are, like, they've got two Jets contracts, maybe three Jets contracts left in the lineup. They had Jeff Malott, Nelson Noje. And although he was back to playing defense today after having two goals in the last game last week, and Simon Lundmark, 2019 second rounder, who had a very good game. He's been a big beneficiary. You know, a couple years ago when it was Declan Chisholm, Luke Green, and Johnny Kovacevic in like a three rookie rotation, eventually Luke Green petered out and it just became Declan and, or maybe it was Leon. It was one of the two, and Johnny. Maybe, you know, it might have been anyways, a lot of these draft picks, so many to forget, remember. But the point is, they were the beneficiaries of it. Simon Lundmark, 2019 second rounder, he's kind of that now. With all these guys up with the Jets, he's getting a lot more ice time. And he's played pro before. Of course, this is his first year over in North America. And someone asked me, and I thought it was a good parallel. They said, well, how would you describe him? Or they said, is he like a Dylan DeMello? Because there's not one area. Like Declan Chisholm, if you watch his skating, he's just a phenomenal skater. Johnny Kovacevic is big. He's mobile, but he's big. He's got a decent shot. And Ville Heinola has got an excellent shot, and he's got good hockey sense. But Simon Lundmark is just kind of a good all-around player, and he's been paired with Jimmy Olney, and they've got a patchwork defense otherwise. Arvid Holm was in net. He got the start. It's his first start in over a month, I think, two or three weeks. And the Moose were in tough. Like, they gave up two goals to start the game, and you thought, okay, well, good thing there's a Jets game on and the Jets are doing all right because now folks won't be paying attention. But sure enough, this plucky Moose team, they never really are out of it. And Greg Morales and Jeff Malott scored twice to tie the game in the second period. But then shortly thereafter, Sheldon Rempel scored for Abbotsford to give them a 3-2 lead after 40. Still a pretty good game. And then Simon Lundmark, the guy I was talking about, he ties it up with about 5 minutes into the third period. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, the Moose are in for, you know, again, they're probably going to force extra. But then Nick Patan from behind the net finds, I think it was Rempel as well. Yeah, Sheldon Rempel, his second goal of the game. So that gave them, the visitors, a 4-3 lead. Moose tried to come back, but just wasn't in the card. So they fall to 22-11, 2-1 on the season. And they'll have a rematch tomorrow. If you want to go, you'll get a bobblehead, a Mikael Burden bobblehead, in fact. So if anybody's planning on going, I don't know if they still have tickets. But if they do, there you can get a pickup on Mikael Burden bobblehead at tomorrow's game.
What a coincidence that the Moose only made 250 bobbleheads, and that's the exact number of people they have available. I'm kidding.
That's funny.
It's a joke.
I know. Funny. But just to provide some clarity for folks who don't go to the game tomorrow and they choose to go to a game later in the season, this bobblehead night, because I don't think Dan Fink wants 3,000 bobbleheads in his in his basement. So this bobblehead night will find itself another night. And with all the giveaways that were postponed, those will find their way to other nights for the Moose. So, you know, not a great effort, but a gutsy one. And, you know, an example of a team that doesn't give up. They could have very easily, you know, handed the game over when it was down. They were down 2-0, but pretty good effort, pretty solid effort. We'll see what they bring to tomorrow's game.
I'm just surprised that there's somebody under the age of 70 named Sheldon. I mean, you know, my dad's name is Sheldon, and you don't often see very many young people.
Isn't there literally called a show now called Young Sheldon?
Yeah, but that's because he's based on the guy from the Big Bang Theory, Dave. I'm just saying. I know, but you know, you don't see very many young, especially hockey players. You know, you don't see very many hockey players named Sheldon.
I love the
Sheldon Rempel. Apparently, was a dynamic force for the Abbotsford Canucks tonight.
It's all about the old timey names. I my daughter Ariella, her middle name is Hazel, after my grandmother. So her great grandmother was Hazel, right? So I love those old timey names.
I thought you were going to say her name was Sheldon. Her middle name was Sheldon. Then that would have been really interesting.
No. We thought of naming Reuben Sheldon after your dad, but Naomi wasn't having it.
Yeah, that's probably for the better. You know, probably
Sheldon's a great name. Sheldon's a great guy. Great name.
Great name. Great guy. And based on the post game show comments from Thursday, where I was saying that he was laughing at me during the community club showdown when I was a kid, he texted me to say that he wasn't laughing at me. He was laughing with me.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a big difference.
There's is a big difference. Yep. But I can assure you that it certainly sounded like he was laughing at me during that famous video that one day we will put here. We'll bring to the people's attention one day when that happens.
Yeah, that'll be if like the Jets are eliminated from the playoffs, you know, with like 20 games left, then we'll pull that out.
Exactly. Okay, Ezzy, Tough Duck, hardest hitting comment. Who's the winner this afternoon?
Yeah, I just sent it to you. I think you've got it up there. It's KG3. Glad to see the reindeer in the headlights look on Heinola's face is going away. A much more confident performance. We talked about it earlier. You know, Heinola, maybe, you know, it wasn't the loudest game in terms of, you know, he doesn't score a goal or anything like that, doesn't get an assist. But, you know, just looking just under 19 minutes of ice time, 18 minutes and 56 seconds, played a little bit shorthanded. But we talked about hit a post, couple shots on net. He was really noticeable tonight. We know the skill level is there. So, you know, for all the talk, you know, earlier in the season about, you know, when is Ville Heinola going to get into the lineup? He's in the lineup right now. And I think that I would make the argument that was probably his best game of the year with the Jets this year. I know it's only been a few games, but I think that's definitely something you can build off, you know, going into the game against Philadelphia, going into the All-Star break. So I agree a lot with KG3 there on Heinola. So send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, and the good folks at Tough Duck will send you a toque.
There you go. Congratulations. Rob is not in your corner
I thought Rob's got a toque. Did we send Rob a toque?
I don't know. Rob will tell us.
Hey, there's always Tuesday, Rob. Rob does have good comments, but you know.
Drew, it's interesting what Ezzy says, because as we heard from Dave Lowry yesterday in his availability, both Josh Morrissey and Dylan DeMello are options for Tuesday's game. Mm-hmm. So it will be very interesting to see who comes in, who goes out. Now, obviously, if Dylan DeMello is ready, Johnny Kovacevic will come out. They'll put him in.
Yeah.
But, you know, and when Josh Morrissey is ready, which we assume that it will be after, that he'll be ready after tomorrow. I think today was his last day. So as long as he's good, he should be able to join the team on the road. Well, then, of course, you know, Declan Chisholm will come out. But they have played well. And, again, I think it's good for these guys to get that confidence boost, to get that sort of taste of the NHL. Because once, you know, if you only play the one game and then you had to sit and wait for your next game, it may be it kind of kills your momentum. But these guys can use what they've built in these games, and the Moose play Texas next week. So while they won't be available, obviously, because they'll still be on the road, they'll be sent back to the Moose and they'll be able to play next week against the Texas Stars. So guys like that will be able to bring the experience, even if they don't play on Tuesday. And we don't know. We'll have to wait till Monday. LegalCurve.com. We'll have that info for you. But it doesn't matter, because like I said, the benefit to these guys is huge to be able to build on this kind of effort.
Well said, Dave M. KG3, winner of the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. Send Ezzy an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, with your mailing address, or slide into his DMs at ICEzzyG, and he'll hook you up with a toque.
I got the hookup. Holler if you hear me. You like that? You like that reference?
Great, Ezzy.
For those big thank you to Scotty Steiner.
Big thank you. You're still talking about wrestling? I thought we ended that conversation.
It's Royal Rumble tonight. I'm considering maybe ordering.
Yeah, I even dropped a Royal Rumble when Pierre-Luc Dubois and who was it again? Nico or whatever his name was, the defenseman for St. Louis. When they started, I thought they were going to start fighting, and then it turned into a wrestling match. So I thought maybe they were auditioning for a shot at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, Nico Mikola, I believe, is his name.
Worth noting, because it was reported on illegalcurve.com, courtesy of our friend Brad Elliott Schlossman of the Grand Forks Herald. I forgot to mention it this morning. I was going to. Jets 2019 fifth-round draft pick Logan Neaton is done for the season. He's at Miami, Ohio. He's a goaltender out of Michigan. He has a lower body injury, and I have that on the website, but just in case people didn't know, he is done for the season.
Dave M., he's got you covered from the pros to right through to the college ranks, to the junior ranks, to the KHL, and I'm sure he got, if there's a Jets prospect playing in the second division of the Finnish League, he'll have you covered there on illegalcurve.com. For that, we say a big thank you to our sponsors. We mentioned our friends at Tough Duck, also our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park. A big thank you to those sponsors as they make this show, they make the Saturday show, and they make the website a possibility. So support them because they support us. Before you exit tonight's post-game show, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave a comment, tell your friends that we do it after every Jets game, that we do it on Saturday mornings.
Tell all those Jets observers, right, Dave?
And that illegalcurve.com should be your home for hockey in Manitoba. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Dave. I don't know what you're saying. You're muted there, Mr. Minuk. You're showing off the merch. You got some great merch as well.
That's a beautiful hoodie.
That's a good hoodie. I'm wearing my hoodie as well. So, you know, everybody.
You said you're home for hockey in Manitoba, and I'm telling people.
There you go. It's on the jersey. It's on the hoodie. Exactly.
Shout out to Humboldt as well.
There you go, Eggsy. Good job there. Tuesday night, we'll be back with the post-game show after the Jets and the Flyers right around 8:45 p.m. So be sure to join us then. Have a great Saturday, everybody. Enjoy yourself. Pour a beverage. It's 5:30 in the evening. You have my permission to go ahead and do so. Not that you needed that before. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks so much for joining us. Until Tuesday night, we wish you good night and good luck.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.